Now we're going to turn to God's precious word again. Before we come to the preaching of the word. And this evening I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Exodus and to the second chapter of the book of Exodus. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 2 and I want you to read with me from the first verse of this chapter. The book of Exodus chapter 2 and beginning our reading at verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit that what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen. We know that the Lord again will bless the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer? Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for thy precious word afresh this evening. We thank thee that thy word is truth, and we thank thee, our God, for the lessons that we derive from God's precious word to our hearts. We thank thee that though the story is old, yet it is ever new, and we thank thee that it is up to date and it speaks to us in this day in which we live. And our Father, especially on this Mother's Sunday, we pray, our God, that thou wouldst encourage our hearts and that thou wouldst bless thy word as we gather around it just now. Draw near to our hearts, we pray, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we would ask these things. Amen. Amen. On this Mothering Sunday, I want us to think about a godly mother, and I'm thinking here about Jochebed. We are introduced to her in this passage of Scripture, and she stands out as one of the greatest mothers that are revealed in the pages of Scripture. She is the mother of Moses, and we're not told much about this woman in the Scriptures. She is called Jochebed. Her name means glory of Jehovah or glory of God. And Jochebed was a Hebrew woman in a time when the Hebrews were in slavery in the land of Egypt. Now, for 400 years, at the time when Jochebed was living, the children of Israel had been in slavery amongst the Egyptian. And we think of how the Egyptian rulers were treating the Hebrews very severely indeed. And we find that the country had been in famine, and eventually the rulers had forgotten about the Jews and about the children of Israel. And we find that they began to persecute the children of Israel. And then Pharaoh became so afraid of the children of Israel that he ordered that all of the male children should be killed, that they should be drowned in the Nile. So here is Jochebed and her husband Amram, And they're not only under slavery here, and they're not only living in a time of oppression as far as their nation was concerned, but here is Jochebed, she's expecting a child, and her child really is under a death sentence. He is in mortal danger because of the proclamation of the ruler at that time. But I want you to see that Jochebed was a woman who had her faith in God, where she is described here as a daughter of Levi, and her husband is described as a man of Levi, of the house, a son of Kohath of the house of Levi, and she was a mother of three children, and each one of them is one that stands out in the history of the Word of God. Her daughter Miriam was a poetess, she was a musician, and she was intimately associated with her two brothers in leading the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. And then there was Aaron, who was the first high priest of Israel, a man of importance. We think of the Aaronic priesthood. And then, of course, there is Moses, the great lawgiver, the man who communed with God, the man who was most associated with leading the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. And it was because of Jochebed's desire to save her son Moses and her ingenuity in doing so that her name goes down in the great list of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to see her selfless love. I want you to see her sacrifice in guarding and safeguarding her son as much as possible here in the time of the children when this great danger was abroad. And we want to see the life of a great mother. This is Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday. It is not something that we read about in the Bible, but nevertheless, we do find the principle in God's word that we're to honor our father and our mother, that the days may be long upon the earth. And it is good to learn from the examples of Scripture as to what way we should bring up our children, what way we should be a good mother or a good father, as the case may be. But I'm not just speaking to mothers today. I'm speaking to everyone, because in Jochebed we have a great example of someone whose faith we follow. Here is a woman of faith, a woman who trusted God. And in this day and generation, we need people like that and people in the midst of our society. So I want us to look at Jochebed, a great mother, and I want you to see some things about her as we look in the Word of God in Exodus chapter 2. And the first thing that I want you to see about her is her relationships. That's the first thing that seems to be highlighted for us as we come to think about this woman. This is the way she's introduced. If you look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi." Later on, we're told that the woman is Jochebed, but here she is mentioned as a wife and she is mentioned as a daughter of Levi. And there is a relationship there, and there's a mention of her relationships. And I think that the first thing that we see is her relationship to her husband. Chapter 2 opens with what really is an ordinary scene, a marriage between two people here, a man of the house of Levi and a daughter of Levi. And here at this stage, Jochebed is highlighted about her, her relationship to her tribe and her relationship to the people of God. And I want you to see the formation of the relationship here. Here were two people with similar interests. They had a similar background here. They were both from the tribe of Levi, who were the priestly tribe. And they were both here people who are identified then with the children of Israel. They were Israelites. And I want you to see that when Amram took a wife, he did not take a wife from the Egyptians. He did not take a wife from the pagan society in which he lived, but he took a wife from amongst the people of God, and he was a man who wanted to preserve that relationship with his God. And that's something that we need to highlight and something that we need to see. Young people, I want you to see how vital it is that if you're saved and you're forming a relationship, that it should be from among the people of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" And that is important today, that separation that we have. And people have ignored that injunction at their peril, and they've got into an awful lot of trouble because they have done that. In Deuteronomy 7, the children of Israel had been freed from the slavery by this time, and they entered into the promised land. And God again underlined this principle of separation. He said, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, and thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them," speaking there about the heathen tribes in the land, "he said, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son." So the Lord knew that this was a disaster. And later, when the children of Israel ignored the injunction, of course, they got themselves into a real heap of bother. So we see the principle here. Her relationship was with a man who was associated with the God of heaven from amongst the children of Israel. We see the formation then of her relationship. But then I want you to see the functioning of her relationship. Because I want you to see that when this family is formed, that this partnership, if we call it that, I want you to see that it was on the basis of faith and faith in God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." And I want you to see there that it speaks about both parents. It says that his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And that shows you that there you have a mother and a father who are working together in faith. It was not just the faith of Amram, or not just the faith of Jochebed, but it was the faith of them both working together. Here's a family in which both husband and wife are seeking to govern their family according to the word of God and according to their love of God, and they're trying to bring their children up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. How important that is. How important in these days. You know, many of you are in isolation. Many of you maybe can't get out to work. Many of you can't go to the usual places. The busyness that you have been engaged in has come to a halt. And maybe it's a time to learn, to sit back and just take time with our families and to teach them in the things of God. And we see her relationship with her husband. But then there's something else that is highlighted, and that is her relationship with the Lord. Because here she is described as a daughter of Levi, and that means that she's an Israelite, and she was from the tribe of Levi, and from among the people of God. The tribe of Levi were the priests of the tabernacle and later the temple, and she's mentioned in the chapter of faith, and we know that God commends her for her faith. We think of even her name. Her name means glory of God or glory of Jehovah. And this is at the time before when Moses was given the name of God, or the name of God was revealed to Moses, "I am that I am." And yet you can see in the name of Jochebed that there seems to have even been before that time some knowledge of the name of God as Jehovah here in this portion of Scripture. But here is a connection directly with the Lord. And you know how important that is, how vital that is, that we have a connection with the Lord, that we have that relationship with the Lord, that we glory in our God. You know, there are many people, and they're given names today. There are people who are called Christian. It's a man's name, Christian. And they're very far from being Christians. You think of people who have the name Paul, and they're very far from being like the apostle of the Gentiles. But here is a woman who lived up to her name. She wanted to give glory to God. But I wonder tonight, have you a relationship with the Lord? Is that relationship firm and strong? Dear friend, you need to be saved. You need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But I want you to see something of this woman. And the first thing that we are told about her is something about her relationships. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see her refusal. Because she refused the godless system of the day. She refused to be conformed to the commands of the godless ruler of that day. The powers that be in the shape of Pharaoh had sent out a message proclaiming the destruction of the male children of the Jewish line. And here is one of those attempts of the devil to cut off the line of the Messiah. But was Moses, when he was born, then was born, as we say, in great danger. Look at Exodus chapter 1 and look at verses 15 to 22. It says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." And we're told later, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." So Moses then, when he was born under a death sentence. It was the decree of Pharaoh that all the male children of the Hebrews should die. But here is Jochebed, and she makes a courageous intervention. She's going to say no to the powers of be. She's going to say no to the decrees and the laws that are being foisted upon her. And I want you to see her stand. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, we're told this: "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." Oh, God, give us parents who are not afraid of the king's commandments, not afraid of the dictates of society, not afraid of the propaganda of these wicked and sinful days, who want to teach their children in the ways of God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch out for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is profitable unto you." And it is true that God has appointed the rulers that we have. They are appointed of God. They are put in their place by God, even the most wicked rulers, because when that was written, the rulers were the Caesars who are persecuting the children of God. And we do obey those that have the rule over us, except where it is that we're going to be commanded to do something that is completely contrary to the will and plan of Almighty God. We do not follow the desire of any government to genocide. When the government is going to kill the unborn, we don't agree with that. We don't comply with that. We're not going to be involved in that. They're trying to promote euthanasia today. We respectfully decline to get involved in those kinds of things. True Christians cannot obey that. You think of the propaganda, the social correctness of this day and generation. You think of 6.7 million abortions in Britain since the 1967 Act. There are things that we cannot agree with. We cannot agree with murder. We cannot agree with social engineering that denies the very basics of society that God has sent down. And you remember when Peter and the apostles were challenged by the authorities of that day to go away and not preach the gospel anymore. They could not obey that command. And we read what they said in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And there is a day, I think, in the future when the government will forbid us to preach the gospel. We see some inklings of that today. There are preachers that are being arrested in the open air. There are those that are being hounded because of what they preach. And you only have to look in the newspapers and in the publications to see instances of this in this day in which we live. But you know, there is a day time when we have to stand. We have to stand for truth and for righteousness. And parents and young people and whoever's listening in, I hope that you will serve God. You think of the Joshua who followed on from Moses. And you remember what he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So we see something here of her stand. But then I want you to see her scheme. She hid Moses for 3 months. And as long as she could, Jochebed and Amram silenced the child. But they couldn't harm the child. But they tried to keep him in such a way that they would shield him from the guards that were going about. And the devil hates her children. The devil wants to take hold of her children. The devil wants to do despite to her children. He will get hold of them in any way that he can. My, he will use the social influence, he'll use the friends at school, he will use the social media, he will use every means that he can to win our children from us. And young people, I want you to recognize that. I want you to recognize what is going on in this day and generation. And we need to hide our young ones. We need to hide our youngsters from the bad influences of this day and generation. I want you to see her scheme. But she couldn't shield her child forever. And in the case of Moses, of course, she couldn't shield him for too long, because after 3 months, it says that she could no longer hide him. And you can imagine how impossible that was. Now, we can't shield our children forever. There must be a time when we give them up, and we have to train them and make sure. And when Jochebed made provision for her child, even though he was only 3 months old, she did so in faith, and she made plans. Now, when she put him in the ark of bulrushes and she put him on the Nile, she didn't just push him out into the stream. She placed him among the bulrushes in the place where she knew that people came to bathe, so that they would find the child. It wasn't that she was just abandoning her child. She had made plans for the safety of her child. And that, dear friends, that's what we need to do. We can't hold on to them forever. But we need to plan, and we need to make sure in every way that we can that we make preparations, that when we say that our children, as it were, fly the nest, and when we see that good provision has been made for them. You know, I read about a young fellow, and he was speaking to an elderly lady on a plane, and she felt he was a nice young man. She said he was just like a young man from next door. And she talked to him for a while, and she said to him, began to ask him where he came from and all the rest of it. And she said, "Son," she says, "how did you become such a fine young man?" And the young man said, "Well, as a boy, I had a drug problem. And the old woman said, well, she couldn't believe such a fine young fellow would have a drug problem. Well, he said, yes, I had a drug problem. My mother drugged me to the morning service, and she drugged me to the evening service, and she drugged me to the Wednesday night meeting, and to the children's meeting, and to the Sunday school. And that's what he meant by a drug problem. And it's good to have a drug problem like that, not the real drugs, but being dragged to the place where God's word is preached. We see her refusal. But then thirdly, I want you to see her reliance. Because at the end of the day, this woman made all her plans, but she had to rely on God. You know, you think of her making the ark of bulrushes, and she puts the child in it and places him in the water. At the end of the day, she had to trust in a sovereign God. Her faith was strong. She knew that the God that she was depending on was going to help her through. But she had to have faith. She needed faith to defy the world. She had to have faith to withstand the attacks and withstand the powers that be that were in that day and generation. And you know, she knew that her child deserved a chance. He needed to have a chance. And she needed faith to defy the world. But she also needed faith to detach her child. She needed faith to let go of her child. You know, sometimes we need faith to let go of our children. Sometimes there are people that hold on too long to their children. And they ruin their children by that means. We have to let them go to the world. We have to let them go into the wild blue yonder that is out there. But you know, by faith in a sovereign God, we can place our children in the hands of God. And you know, that's just what Jochebed did. She probably thought about Noah's ark and how in a time of great danger that Noah made an ark and his family was saved. And she thought about her little child and she said, I'll make an ark. And of course, the arks that the Bible all speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. They all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about this ark that was covered in slime or pitch. And again, with the ark in Noah's day, it was covered by pitch. And we think of that covering that kept out the elements and kept out the danger and kept out the water that spoke of the wrath of God. And dear friend, you need to make sure and you need to pray that your children are covered in the precious blood of the Lamb, that you're in the ark of Christ Jesus, that they are saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. The Bible says the promise is unto you and to your children. And thank God that if you bring them up and teach them in the things of God, then they will not depart from it. But you need to have faith to detach the child. You know, D.L. Moody one time told the story of a godly mother. And this actually took place. And this child, while he had a godly mother, rebelled. And he went off to war in Mexico. But when he went off to war in Mexico, his mother gave the young fellow a Bible. And she said, you read that Bible. And she says, when you look in that Bible, you remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother is praying for you. So off he went to the war, and he was wounded in the battle, and he was, in his wounded state, caused to think about the Bible that he had in his pocket. And he took it out, and he remembered that it was near 12 o'clock, and he remembered that his mother was praying for him. And right there in the battlefield, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Oh, dear friends, thank God for those who have faith in God and want to teach that faith to their children. Not only did she want to have faith to teach her child, defy the world and detach the child, but she needed faith to develop the child. Because after Moses was rescued from the river, you remember the story how that the daughter of Pharaoh came and picked up the child and saw the child and took the child Moses and adopted her. Remember she saw Miriam, Moses' sister, and she asked her to get a Hebrew woman to be the nurse for the child. And of course, Miriam brought her mother. And by that means, Jochebed was able to train Moses in the things of God. And no matter what else took place, as a prince of Egypt, Moses never forgot the people from which he came. He never forgot his attachment to the people of God. He never forgot that relationship that he had to the people of God. And you know, here is a woman who poured her all, sacrificed herself, gave her all to bring up her child in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. And very literally, Jochebed was raising her child for the Lord. And she was really giving her child to the Lord. And it reminds us of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of how God gave his own Son to be the propitiation of our sins. We read how God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jochebed gave her son for Israel. God gave his son for the world. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And in a very real spiritual sense, this is the Heavenly Father. What he has done for us, he has given his Son in our room and in our stead. We see something of this woman's relationship and something of her refusal. And then we saw something here of her reliance. But one more thing I want you to see, and that is her reward. Oh, she has her reward. Her name goes down amongst the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And she is the mother of the man who is destined to be the great lawgiver of Israel, the man who leads the children of Israel out of the house of bondage. I'm sure Jochebed never knew what her son did in this lifetime. She was long gone before Moses became the great lawgiver of Israel. But you know, she had taught him in the things of God. The Jesuits used to say, give me a child until he's seven, and then you can do what you like with him. And there's a great truth in that. And she had taught him well. You know, we need to bring up our children to know and love the Lord, to serve him. Who knows what they may be? They may carry the gospel to the far-flung fields of the earth. They may be preachers in the church of God. They may be those that bring that message to the lost and dying that are round about us. F.W. Borum was a great preacher of a day gone by. And in 1809 he was preaching. And 1809 was a year just between the great battles of the Napoleonic War, just between the Battle of the Trafalgar and the Battle of Waterloo. And it was a momentous time. But F.W. Borum pointed out that in 1809, William Ewart Gladstone was born in Liverpool. Lord Alfred Tennyson was born in Somersby. Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Massachusetts. Abraham Lincoln was born in Kentucky. Frederick Chopin was born in Warsaw. And Felix Mendelssohn was born in Hamburg. And F.W. Borum commented about that. And he said this: which of the battles of 1809 mattered more than the babies born in 1809? When a wrong once writing, or a work once doing, or a truth once preaching, or a continent once opening, God sends a baby into the world to do it. So give of the best to your children. Bring them up in the things of God. You know, many parents think that they are successful if their children go to college or university, if they have a profession. They say, well, that's true success. But true success is a child that loves God. A true success is a child that loves the Lord with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. And maybe you're a parent today. Make sure, particularly in these times, that you give what you can to your children. Pray for your children. Bring them up in the things of God. Bring them up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. And above all, make sure that they're saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, because that's the most vital thing, young or old. You need the Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. May you come today and trust Him as your Savior. And may God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in prayer and close our meeting in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, on this Mother's Day, we thank Thee for our mothers. We thank Thee for those that were willing to give of themselves and pour of themselves into us. We pray, Lord, that in the coming generation, we may have children who grow up to know and to glorify and exalt the Savior. Bless Thy word, write it upon our hearts. We pray that Thou wouldst keep us safe in the incoming days. We pray that Thy hand would be upon us. We pray that Thou wouldst spread Thy covering wings around till all our wandering cease and at our Father's loved abode all His saints arrive in peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be our portion both now and in the incoming days. Amen.